Amazingly, many of us can quote verses, but it's harder for us to actually apply those verses in our daily living. Just let me give you a for instance. The Bible tells us that we're to love our enemies as ourselves. Now, we can talk about that, but when it comes down to it, okay, Bill, am I getting somewhere where I ought not to be? Okay. I don't think so. If I am, I don't know about it. And
let's get this fixed.
Okay. And so we have, now if I start messing around with this a lot, you'll know that it doesn't fit my ear. Somebody's ear is weird. Not mine, but yeah. Okay, yeah, I felt that, yeah. Pastors, yeah, he's got strange ears, you know. We live in a time where these issues are real issues, and they've always been, really, even though people might not have talked about them. The issue of PTSD today. And now, you have to forgive me, okay, because I'm going to talk to you from my feelings here, okay. Everybody's got PTSD today, according to the doctors. Everybody. Now, after World War I, nobody had PTSD. They didn't know what to call it. They had different names for it, and they just. And then World War II, our World War II vets came home, just shut their mouths, and went about their lives and did their thing. And every now and then, somebody pop up with problems. But after Vietnam and maybe Korea and Vietnam and so forth, and nowadays everybody has PTSD. You have PTSD because the dog next door barked at you. I have a problem with all of that, and I'm wondering if there's not some over-diagnosing going on, some ideas that are really not sound, but and because of that, they kind of mess up those individuals that really do have PTSD. Now, that's just me thinking, and you may say, I don't agree with you, and I tell you what I've always told you, you're allowed to be wrong. It just seems to me like there's some problems with some of these things. But in spite of all of that, in spite of all that, we have a biblical picture that is given to us that talks about emotional healing, talks about physical healing, and talks about spiritual healing. We really are in a society that physical healing, divine physical healing, has been so misrepresented and so abused by people that use it to gain from others. It's amazing to me that some of the people that have this so-called, now there is a biblical gift of healing. I'm not dealing with that tonight, but some people that claim they have this biblical gift always seem to be gaining financially because of it. If you had the biblical gift of healing, wouldn't you just go in the hospitals every now and then and just say, let me pray for you? I mean, wouldn't that seem reasonable? If you knew God had given you the gift of healing where you could lay hands on somebody and they would have physical healing, don't you think you ought to be using that without having to be hired? I mean, that's just, you can deal with that any way you want to. Biblically, well, let's read James 13 through 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isaiah tells us that by his stripes we are healed. So one of the questions that always pops up does this mean that healing is in the atonement, or is it merely in an act of faith? And I would say to you, yes. Now, I know that might not be the answer that some people want, but it seems to me that the Scriptures tell us clearly that at the atonement, when Jesus was beaten by his stripes, we are healed. Now, you can argue all you want to about the issues of whether this is physical healing or emotional or spiritual healing or whatever, but I don't think that the Scripture gives us a statement of it's this type of healing and not this type of healing. The Scripture says, by his stripes you are healed. And people need different kinds of healing in their lives. They need physical healing, they need emotional healing, and they need spiritual healing. And for a lot of people, they say, I don't know if God wants to do all of those things. And I would just say with you what we read in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So your sickness, whatever it is, understand this, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And he intended to give healing to people. Now, there's a debate on whether this means that you only have healing if it's God's will. And some people will say, well, I don't think it's God's will for me to have healing. And I think I understand what they're saying, but let me give you a thought, just a thought. If you really believe that it's God's will for you to be sick, why would you ask God to give you healing if it's his will for you to be sick? As a matter of fact, wouldn't it make more sense for you to pray to God to make you sicker because it was his will that you be sick? So, you see, there's a struggle here. We have to deal with our own minds and our own thoughts, and we have to come to the conclusion of whether we believe God wants to heal us. And we have to have that settled if we are going to have the wonders of God take place in our lives. You see, we miss what God has sometimes because we can't say, we want your will done, regardless of what it is. And if we say, but I believe that you want me to be sick, then how can we say, I want you to heal me? Because if you say, I want you to heal me, you're saying that you don't want the will of God done. So you struggle with that, okay? You struggle with that. Because I think there's a biblical issue that must be understood. And I think that issue is, it's God's desire to give healing to people. And even in the midst of your sickness, though, God can still get glory out of it because he is God. You all know that I had COVID and was in 3 weeks incubated and 2 weeks delirium. I didn't know anything for over 5 weeks. And Ruth said that my brother-in-law's Gary, and I don't know if I told you this or not, my brother-in-law's Gary, who pastored in Ohio, and He's 82 now, and he's had a stroke, and he's not doing any kind of ministry anymore due to that. And Ruth said that I would say over and over and over and over and over again, "Gary, preach the gospel." Now, Gary wasn't there, you understand. But I was saying, "Gary, preach the gospel. Gary, preach the gospel." And after about 300 times of that, my daughter went crazy. But the issue is that even in the midst of everything that's wrong, we can still get God glory for what's taking place in our lives. Now, it doesn't mean you like it. Understand? All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Now get this. It didn't say all things really feel good. It didn't say you're happy with all things. It didn't say, oh man, you're going to celebrate all things. It doesn't say that. But it says all things will work to the good. Now, you may not get it, and you may not understand it, but somehow God will bring good out of what is taking place in your life, no matter how bad it is. Now, again, those are things that we don't have all the answers to. But let's go through this area of Scripture a little bit together and just try to see what we have revealed to us. The first piece I'd like to point out is the idea of emotional healing. And as I said, I think in the last 75 years, the idea of psychological help, social help, all types of counseling, we've become a very therapeutic people. You can get degrees in all of the therapies that you can do. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that's what's going on. That's the world we live in. And I believe that many of them are very helpful to people. Now, I have a problem with unbelievers counseling believers. Yeah, why do you want to talk to an unbeliever about what God has to say to you in His Word when they don't believe it? I mean, it seems to me that we're being unequally yoked and we're receiving things that may not come from God. Now, if you want real counseling, you should go to Christian counselors. Now, by the way, I know that that term Christian becomes really convoluted in our society, so you've got some responsibility there to figure out whether they're Christian or not. You say, I don't want to be a judge. Well, I think I want to know a little bit about them before I'm going to tell them my deepest, darkest secrets in this world. Matter of fact, I don't know if I want to tell them anything. There can be help in that. In James 5 there that we read, it says, any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let them sing songs. The Christian does not have to have their emotions batted around like a ball by the devil or other entities in the society that we live in. You see, you do not have to have an unstable life. I know that people have great hurt and pain in life. There's people that carry child abuse all through their life. It dominates them. There may be other issues, but every time that you and I allow those issues of the past to dominate us, It keeps us from being the kind of people that God would have us to be. I'm not saying you're not Christian. I'm just saying you're hindered in what you could be. Listen to how Paul would talk about this in Romans 5. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want emotional healing, peace with God becomes a primary peace. You see, you have to know that you are at peace with God. You have to understand that God has given you something that can take away all the things that keep you from having peace. Because through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, you are allowed to have relationship with a loving God, and you are no longer His enemy. You don't have to fight God anymore. You don't have to battle with all those things. And every time the devil comes along and he attempts to get you to go back to those things that caused your mind to be overwhelmed, you must turn back to Jesus and say, in you I have peace. In you I have peace. Not in the world, not in everybody and everything. Listen again how Paul would talk a little bit about this in 2 Timothy when he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Wow. Now, I think most of us have a few things in our life that have caused us to not have peace at times. I think most of us deal with issues, maybe not on a daily basis, but we deal with something that happened in our life, or we deal with something that we did. Ruth and I, and just really being honest with you, Ruth and I were, I think it was just today, I don't know, we've traveled so much in the last month, I don't know where we were at or what we were doing, but I think we'd been at our daughter's. We left there today, and I feel sometimes like I was so harsh with my children that I wish I could go back and change that. I was so harsh. You know, do this, do that, sit down, be quiet, come here, you need your head nodded. Yeah. Stand in the corner. Three levels of tears in the corner. And that troubles me. It may not trouble you, but it troubles me because I feel like I could have given my kids so much more. And I see these little kids, you guys that have these young children running around and you're hugging them and everything. And I think, man, you don't know what you have. I mean, they're such a pain. And they'll be a pain until they're about 25 to 30, you know. But they're also such a joy. Such a joy. And I look at that and I have to struggle with that within myself. By the way, I've gone back and apologized to my children and they're great kids. Dad, it wasn't that bad. Dad, it's okay. It's okay. But you see, you have to come to peace with that. And that's a struggle sometimes. Now, this is emotional healing for us. Now, I know many of you may have issues that go far beyond what I've talked about thus far. Your emotional struggles are very real. But again, understand that God wants to give you victory and peace. Peace. It doesn't mean those things didn't happen. It doesn't mean they don't come up in your minds. But what it means is that you understand that the God who made you is able to give you peace in the trouble. Listen, Jesus walked across the water. One time he was sleeping in the boat, and the storm came up, and they were so afraid they were going to die. And Jesus steps up and says, "Peace be still." The same God who stepped up, who stood up in the boat and said, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased and the storm ceased, is the same God that can say that to you in the storms of your life. It doesn't mean the storms all go away immediately, but it means that there can be peace in that, because you know you are God's child and He wants you to have the healing that peace brings to your emotions. You should never, never, never forget that. You should never forget that. Listen to how Jesus would say it. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus says, "I give you peace." Folks, that's healing for the emotions. That's healing for the emotions. The second thing is the issue of physical healing. And we talk about physical healing, and we talk about divine physical healing, and then we talk about medical physical healing, and then there's also the physical healing that is inherent in the body. How many of you have gotten sick in the last year and didn't go to the doctor, and after about 3 days, you were over it? You know that your body was made to give you healing like that. There's pieces and parts of you that are able to rush to the place where sickness is and battle that sickness in your body. Now, let me give you a couple thoughts on that. Firstly, since God made your body, isn't that a form of divine healing? When you say, "Well, you know, I got sick, I got over it, didn't go to the doctor, took a few aspirin maybe, whatever, but I'm doing great now." If God made you and He made your body to where parts of it rush to the sick area, don't you think that's divine? You were made that way. Now, a lot of people struggle with the doctor issue. In the Church of God, we've had a kind of a love-hate relationship with that issue. Early on in the Church of God, some people were so insistent that divine healing shouldn't be interrupted by a doctor's efforts that people, one couple, and I forget, it was early 1900s, late 1800s, their son died, and they were put on trial. I wish I could tell you the results of that, and I can't, but they were put on trial on account of that. And we hear something like that every now and then in the news, where somebody says, "My son has diabetes, but we prayed and we have faith that they're going to be healed," and sometimes that doesn't happen, and that child dies. And mom and dad are put on trial. Now, you deal with that issue how you want to, but let me just simply say to you, since God also made the mind of man and gave man the ability to understand the different things. Do I have any nurses in here? Any nurses? One? Anybody else? Okay, anybody that's works in the medical field? Okay. Okay. Yeah, Karen, you're a doctor. Yeah. Forgive me for using you, okay? So Karen's a doctor, okay? She's worked on people. Sometimes she used a hammer, I don't know what, yeah. But she was a doctor. So she went through training. Her mind learned things. She had the ability to learn how to do certain things. Now, where did all that come from? Did God not make her very unique? Now, all of you aren't like that. My mom thought she was. Some of the stuff she stuffed down my throat wasn't worth talking about. Yeah, my wife thinks she is. I'm telling you, some of the things she's given me. Sometimes I wonder what's wrong with me by agreeing to take all those things. But I could tell you stories, I'm telling you. But didn't God shape that mind? And now Karen put forth effort and all that it took. But didn't God shape that mind and give wisdom to individuals to be able to see what is needed and how they can do what they need to do to help a person when they're sick? So I would say to you that, well, I understand that's not divine physical healing maybe, but isn't that divine? Since God has shaped all of that, isn't that from the mind of God? But then there's also the issue of the physical healing. Now, again, James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, my brothers and my sisters, understand this. I think early on in this, I said something along the line, we don't need a God to give healing like we did. Something to that effect. And that is because we've become so accustomed to our medical profession being so good. Now, if you had been in the Civil War, what happened in the Civil War would have, when a person was shot by about a 60 caliber musket ball, and when it hit the individual and hit a bone, it tore sections of the bone out, and they didn't know how to fix that, so they amputated. And most of the time, they didn't have anything to help that much with the pain, no anesthesia, or very little, and so they would say, here, bite on this, or somebody would hold on them, and they would use a saw and remove a limb. Now, I don't think I want to go to the doctor. If that's kind of the treatment I'm going to get, I think I would, I don't know. I think I'd try to find somebody else that might have a better idea. I don't know. But when you look at that, and then you look how we've transitioned so much. I was up at the VA. We came home Thursday morning, and I went to the VA on Friday morning, had an appointment. I had a heart attack, I think it was about 3 years ago, and they're still following up on me. They keep on following up. And they did an EKG, and then they said, we're going to do a heart scan, and we'll get back with you and tell you when it is. And man, they didn't have that in the 1800s. You know that? You realize that? I could tell you the old joke about the CAT scan, you know. You know, the CAT and scan. And so, but that, you know, that didn't work well, okay. But in our day and age, we have progressed so far that people oftentimes forget to go to God and say, God, I need some help here. I need healing for my body. I need you to do something. Most of us have had cases where, or know of cases where people have been told by the doctor, you've got 3 months or you've got 6 months, and 20 years later they're still alive, three kids and so forth, you know. And so we understand that doctors don't have all the knowledge and all everything. They don't get it all. Some of them aren't as good as others and all that kind of stuff. But God is always right. He always gets it right. And I think that sometimes we have missed this area of Scripture where it tells us to call for the elders of the church and to anoint with oil and to pray the prayer of faith. You say, that works? Well, probably if you come with that attitude, no. You see, faith has to be involved in that. You have to say, God is able to do this, and I trust Him to do it, and I'm going to ask Him. If your earthly father would not give you a stone when you ask for a fish, what do you think your heavenly father would do? See, here is the picture of physical healing for us. The fact that God wants to heal the body. Read the New Testament. Read through the New Testament. If the person was able to understand, they always had faith. The woman with the issue of blood goes through the crowd, touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Why didn't anybody else get healed? How many other people brushed up against Jesus that day? It wasn't the hem of His garment that had the healing power in it. It was Jesus. And so what happened? Jesus says to her, your faith hath made you whole. So oftentimes what happens is we come to God and we might not actually have faith. I'm not saying every case. I don't understand why some people get healed and some do not. I don't get all of that. All I know is that the Scripture said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, have them anoint you with oil, and God will raise up the sick. And so the point for you and I in physical healing revolves around the question of our faith of what He will do. Do we trust Him to do it? You say, Brother Rudd, haven't you ever trusted God to heal somebody and He didn't? Yeah. Yeah, my mother had brain cancer and we prayed for her. In the 70s, my mother had spent most of her life having severe migraines. Severe. They had put her in the, she'd have to go in the bedroom and put a cloth over her eyes and 3-4 days and so forth. And I'll never forget the day we went over to her house somewhere around 1976. And we anointed her and prayed for her as she was in the midst of a migraine headache. And God raised her up, and she never had another headache until she died in 2000, and she never had another headache from 1976 to 2000. But then, she had a brain tumor. And we prayed for her. And she died. She died. You say, what happened? Well, to be honest with you, I don't know. I'll just be honest with you, I don't know. I thought I had just the same kind of faith. I don't know. Did she have the faith? Did my sisters have faith? Did people or the church people have faith? I don't know. But this much I know. God says, if any are sick among you, call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, and He will raise up the sick. Now, my brothers and sisters, understand this clearly. You and I may not always get all the results that we want, but we trust God, and He said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and He would raise them up. And that's what He declared. So you can believe that, or you don't have to. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Now, I know that everybody wants me to have a very clear, concise statement of if you will get anointed, you'll get healed. My brothers and sisters, I don't have that kind of statement, but I do have this statement. God said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and he'd raise up the sick. And so you and I have the option of obeying and believing or not. That's us. It's in your bailiwick. It's up to you. Let's go on to the last thing, and I'll try to finish up fairly quickly. The last piece of this is spiritual healing. I believe that what we oftentimes miss in our society is the idea of spiritual healing. In Psalm 41:4, it says, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. I think spiritual healing is of the utmost importance for the individual. Because if there's no spiritual healing, the odds are very high against you ever having peace with God or believing that God will heal your body. Without spiritual healing, you are an enemy to God. You are on the opposite side. Listen to Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now, he wasn't talking necessarily there about the physical condition of the nation, but he was talking about the spiritual issues of the nation. And he says, is there no physician, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing power in Gilead? Is there nothing that can provide for them in the condition that they're in? And the answer to that is, praise God, yes. There is. We have a physician, and his name is Jesus. And he can heal the spirit of a person, as well as the body of a person, as well as the emotions of the person. See, God desires that all of you, now when I say all of you, I don't mean all of you. I'm talking about all of you. You, you, and you, and you, and you, and you. All of you. Every part of you be healed. He does not want you to be sick with anything. Listen to how the American Standard Version talks about that 24th verse. It says, for that hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I mourn. Dismay hath taken hold on me. And then he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no help? Is there no hope? Well, friend, let me tell you, Jesus Christ said that he came to give healing. Listen to how he puts it. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so you see, the picture of this spiritual healing is very real. Jesus came with the exact intent to give every man, every woman, every young person a healing for their spirit so that they can be in relationship with the living God. Now, that is part of the healing that God provides for people. You were without God and without hope. There was no balm for you. You couldn't do anything. There was no physical doctor for you to go to take care of your soul. No one could help you until Jesus came and died on Calvary, and by his stripes, you are healed. When you come to him and you call out to him, healing can be very real for your spirit. You can be cleansed and made whole. And so you see, through the scriptures. I know there's plenty of scriptures on healing that you can go to, but listen again to what he says. Is any sick among you? Anybody have physical needs? Anybody have emotional needs? Does anybody here have spiritual needs? Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. But friends, do not come for someone else that you have not asked them if they want you to come. It says you should come and call on the elders of the church. You say, well, I can't get there. Well, then ask somebody to do it for you. But folks, we presume on other people's faith, and they may not have it. And that may be part of the reason that we see people being anointed and no one being healed sometimes. If you don't have faith for you, you ought not to come. If you don't have faith that you're praying, when you're praying for someone, that God will heal them, you ought not to come. And if you're not willing to testify about your healing, you ought not to come. You see, you ought to be able to tell people what God has done for you. You ought to be able to say, man, God healed my emotions. I was a wreck, and God healed my emotions. I don't know how he did it. I don't know what kind of supernatural shot he gave me. I don't know what it was. And maybe you ought to be able to say, God healed my body. Now, I'll tell you that. God healed my body. God healed my body. The doctor told Ruth, said, you know, it probably won't make it through the night. Now, that's over a year ago. Now, I don't know if you know, but I'm here. Yeah. Thank God. But physical healing, thank God for the nurses and the doctors and everybody else. But God gave the healing. And folks, if you can't say that God has healed your spirit, he has taken the brokenness of your life, the sinfulness of what you were, and he has healed you. If you can't testify to that, maybe you ought to come tonight and have that happen. And then you can testify it. Here in a moment, we're going to, as our sister comes in place, I'm going to ask Pastor Ralph and Pastor Nathan to come, and the three of us will be up here, and we are here to anoint you. Now, I don't just want us to anoint you. I want you to be part of the anointing that takes place. So I ask you, if you see someone and you believe that God will heal them, whatever it is, then you come and lay hands on them. So if you need healing, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, I invite you to come while the piano is being played.